Shalom Aleichem. Today we are going to do Perek Yud Gimel, which is Yiras Chet. Shor Chaim says, and the Gemara in Brachas to Zayin Rebeis, Chaim Sheishem Yiras Chet V'chulei V'Yiras Shomayim. So the point that he's making is that you find two different terms. We generally speak about Yiras Shomayim, Yiras Shomayim, Yiras Shomayim. Person should have Yiras Shomayim, but you find that a lot of Chazals, and he's going to quote them, this concept or this term called Yiras Chet. So literally translated, Yiras Shamayim means fear or awe of heaven, and Yiras Chet is fear or awe of sin. So if we would try to ponder what exactly would be the definition of Yiras Shamayim versus Yiras Chet, so I think we'd be hard pressed to say that Yiras Shamayim means fear of punishment or Gehenna or something like that. Maybe Yiras HaOnesh means fear of punishment. Yiras Shamayim sounds like it means some sort of awe of Shamayim. Yiras Chet sounds like it's some sort of fear of sinning. So if that's true, what would be the difference between fear of sinning and fear of punishment? Because the fear is not of the sin, the fear is of the punishment. So that's really the question that he's asking. And I will just tell you off the bat that I think that what he develops here, the first thing he's going to do is quote us all the Gemaras where you find the term Yiras Chet. And at the end, he's going to explain it very briefly. And I do think it's a little bit different than what you find in the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, which of course has a whole section dedicated towards the concept of Yiras Chet, because it's on the ladder of how to accomplish everything we need to accomplish. Everything that Mesilas Yesharim was written for us to accomplish. Be that as it may, Shor Chaim writes, Tzarech Beir requires explanation. Mahu Einyan Shel Yiras Chet? What exactly is this idea of, we'll just call it Yiras Chet, but again, it means fear of the sin itself. Is a person afraid of a sin? The way Yer Chaim says it is that a person is afraid of the commander of the Chet, not of the Chet itself. The Kvar Amar and the Gemara over there already said Yiras Shamayim. So what's added by saying there's another category called Yiras Chet? We find a Chazal really speak about, they really emphasize the concept of Yiras Chet and speak about it in a lot of places. And when they wanted to praise one of the great people of the generation, one of the greatest praises was that he had Yiras Chet. So for example, in the Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Beis, Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, Aminu Lecha Ano, I'm telling you that this fellow, this gadol, is a dachil chetin. He's a fearer of sin. And you're going to tell me that not only that, but he's also a big talmid chacham. You're minimizing his praise, right? So the Gemara there has a story about a certain gadol who was commenting on another personality that he's a great person. So the way he described it being a great person is that, ah, oh, he's mamasha a yirei chet. And so someone else commented on that, yeah. Not only that, but he's also a Talmud Chacham. So he said to the Talmud Chacham is a lower level. The higher level is that he is a yirei chet. When Perek Beis, the Abbas, Matinus, from Yechim and Zach, Hashivach, Talmud, and Rishim, and Nisan, and yirei chet. And in Perek Yehovas that we're learning, with Pash Shabbos, Perek Beis, so it, the Reuchanan ben Zakkai comments that his Talmud, Rosh Shimon ben Nisanel, his praise is that he was a Yerei Chet, specifically. Over there, it has a whole maisa with maybe a Kavya ben Mahalala was excommunicated for something he said. No, it wasn't him, it was someone else. Mishnayas over there. She'ein, Chazar Nenelis, Alkal Adam Yisrael, Bechachma, Yerei Chet, Kavya ben Mahalala. So that's an interesting phrase, but the bottom line is that there was no one greater than in his generation than Nekavya ben Mahalalel in terms specifically of Yiras Chet, Chachma and Yiras Chet. Ibiksubis, Amru Rabbi Manas from Gamliel benay Nasi, that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi appointed his son from Gamliel to be the next Nasi of Klal Yisrael. The Nehidayim Mamalim Makam Boisu Chachma. The Gemara says that even though he didn't fill his father's shoes when it came to wisdom, he did fill the place. He was appropriate for the position in terms of his Yiras Chet. It was Sof Saita. In the end of the Gemara in Saita, there's a little bit of a, I don't know, maybe this is a kasha that Rechaim doesn't address. Mishames Rebbe Batla Anava, that when Rebbe Yeruda Nasi died, so that was the end, so to speak, of humility. He was such a humble person. And there hasn't been a person like on that level since. V Yerashet, in Yerashet, which seems to be a little bit of a kasha, because the Gemara seems to say that his son, Rabban Gamliel, so he also filled his father's shoes, or his ancestor's shoes, in terms of Yerashet specifically. So, okay, kasha, but that's what it says. And Chazal emphasized that Torah without Yiras Chet is nothing. If a person's Yiras Chet is before, in quotation marks, before his Chachma, his primary, his prior into his Chachma, so then all of his wisdom will be able to stand and exist and continue. But if his chachma is prior to Ziras Chet, his primary to Ziras Chet, in chachmas miskayem, his chachma cannot be established, cannot won't endure. B'shmoyis Rabba, in the Medrash on Shmoyis, it says at the Moshe Adam Shrein a Medrash Halachas Agadas. You'll find a person that he learns midrashim, he learns halachas, he learns agadas. Im ein ba Ziras Chet, im yada klam. But if he has no Ziras Chet, mamish has nothing. But if a person does have Yiras Chet, then he has everything. Whoever has knowledge, but he doesn't have Yiras Chet, he has nothing. Any carpenter that doesn't have the tools of the trade, so he's certainly not going to be considered a carpenter. What's he going to do? Lama, why should that be? Because, in other words, this is a mashal, that if a person doesn't have the tools of his trade, so he may very well have lots of theoretical wisdom, but if he doesn't have the Yiras Chet to go along with it, so he doesn't have the tools of the trade. So it's as if, so it explains, shekafliyos, which means the keys, shel Torah are Yiras Chet, the keys to Torah are Yiras Chet. So just like the carpenter, he can't do anything with all of his wisdom. It's all theoretical and potential. He can't access that wisdom and do anything with it because he doesn't have the tools of his trade. So too, if you have a Talmud Chacham, a person that learned lots of Torah, but if he doesn't have Yiras Chet, so he doesn't have the keys to access all of that wisdom and be able to make it real. Uva God is gracious. Mishahu Asher, right? So Lemon Bemitzis. If a person is wealthy, so to speak, meaning he has lots of mitzvahs, and he is wise, and he has das, if he doesn't have yiras chet, he has nothing. If you don't have in your hands yiras chet, so you have nothing in your hands. So Baruch Hu doesn't search out for beauty in Torah learning, well, Ashiras and not wealth in Torah learning. Ela Yiras Chet, only Yiras Chet. Hakavana Yofi Ashiras, when the Medrash speaks about beauty and wealth, Torah u'mitzvus b'li Yiras Chet. It means Torah and mitzvus, not you know, money and physical beauty. Yomer Hadar Bachurim, Hadar Bachurim Yiras Chet. That the splendor, the beauty of a bachur, of a young man, his beauty is his Yiras Chet. If a person is wise and he has Yiras Chet, before, similar idea, that he is like a craftsman and he has the tools of his trade in his hands. But if he's a Chacham, he doesn't have Yiras Chet, he may be a theoretical craftsman, but he won't be able to do anything with it because he doesn't have any of the tools of his trade with him. And if a person is the opposite, what's a person has Yiras Chet, but he has no Torah learning. He's not a Chacham. Ein zeh uman. So then, he's a person like he's not a craftsman, but somehow he has all the tools of the trade, but he doesn't know how to use anything of them. What's he going to do with it? Which is interesting, right? Because, you know, if a person has Yiras Chet, so then you'd expect that a person would be doing pretty well, you know? So apparently that's also not sufficient. It's not sufficient to have Yiras Chet, but not to have any Torah. And the end of brachas in the Tosefta, it says that a person should be making a bracha every day to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for not making me what's called a boor. A boor is a person that doesn't know anything. Why should a person thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for not making him one of these ignoramuses? Lafisha ain boor yirei chait. Because the definition of what a boor is not just that he doesn't know anything, but it's that he doesn't have yiras chait. So if a person has some degree of yiras chait, just thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for not making him a person without it. Harei, kala shevach and tamid chacham shalem b'tera. So you see that the praise of a Talmud Chacham that learns Torah, it's only because through learning Torah, he's able to come to the level of a Yarechet. And so a person has to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was able to do that. That he merited this level in his Avodas Hashem called Yarechet, and he's afraid of a sin. Moshe said to Yahushua, go select soldiers, people for us to fight against the Malek. What he wanted was people that have wisdom and yiras chait, as the Medrash says. That there was a whole incident that the Gemara describes about a Vesula, and we learn yiras chait from her because she understood that there's a big Yitzhahara for her, and she was aware of it, and she didn't let herself fall into those traps. But Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara Avodah Zarah says Yiras Chait maybe like the Kedusha, like in what the Mesilas Yesharim bases himself on, that Yiras Chait brings a person to the next level, which is called Kedusha. But Zarah Kadosh man the Eudachil Cheta Adam, and Zarah Kadosh says something so strong that a person that has Yiras Chait is actually called an Adam, a human being. Other than that, how could a person be called a human being? Okay, that's the list. And all of the chazals that were just quoted, so they all reference the madrega or the mida that's called yiras chait and not yiras shamayim. So all this requires explanation. So what exactly is this concept of yiras chait? The idea is, then when it comes to the Avera itself, the sin, and the punishment for the sin, if a person chas v'shalom transgresses it, ein and dvarim nifradim are not two separate things. There's doing something wrong, and then, considers it, maybe there's a judgment of Beis Din Shamala, and then there's a decision of a punishment. Nope, that's not the way it works. El ha'aver shekadosh baruch hu hizir aleihen, bar b'tiv'an, shein k'mesam ha'mavis laguf ha'nefesh. The way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he warns us not to do certain things, so what that means is that he created in the nature of doing these things, that they're like a poison both to the body and a poison to the soul. And they destroy, they demamish, mess up, and they burn the body and the nefesh. That's why if a person does something negligently, almost unintentionally, it still requires atonement. Why should it require atonement? The person wasn't rebelling against Hashem. They were like, I made a mistake, you know? No, okay, avera eishi, because the avera itself has a nature to it. It's eish, it's like fire. And avad in tercha just consumes until things are destroyed. It's like a person ate poison. That through tshuva, bringing a korban, he says that a person can erase an avera. And the poskim write that even if a person unfortunately was stuck and ended up under duress, there's like nothing he could do about it, he ended up having to do an avera, so it actually impacts his heart. Now, that's not talking about a case where a person had to do something that out of pikuach nefesh, that was aser. They have this whole b'maise in the camps in World War II that they really didn't have a choice. There wasn't matzah, and it was going to be Pesach, and all they had was bread. So what are you going to do about the bread? So nobody wanted to eat the bread, but if they didn't eat the bread, they were going to die. So it's pikuach nefesh. So somebody put together a hinei nimuchna mazuman, one of these little tefillos that a person can say before they perform a mitzvah to prepare themselves to have the right frame of mind, and that the mitzvah should impact us the way that it should. So, hineni mukhna mazuman, behold, I am prepared and ready to fulfill the following mitzvah. Now, usually that's the mitzvah of eating matzah. Usually that's the mitzvah of the arbakosos. But this particular hineni mukhna mazuman was written to fulfill the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh by eating chametz pesach. So, okay, so that would not be a negative. That was something that was done mitzad pikuach nefesh, to save their lives, sha'az zechus mitzvah. In that case, the merit of the mitzvah that they're fulfilling to save their life, pikuach nefesh, to gain a love shall yazik lay, protects a person so that the avera shouldn't damage him. Gach baruch kash baruch teva, that's why kash baruch made things. It's nature, it's spiritual nature. Sha'avera he eish serefes b'nachash v'achrov, that sin is a burning fire, just like a snake or a scorpion. V'komaysh ha'kasav, adunia avi, meri rabbi, zichon l'ruach l'chay elam abo, his father the stipler in the sefer kol chay elam. Shechol Shabbos u'koma machla sartan rachman al-etzlam. The Chol Shabbos is like cancer. A person knew that by doing such a thing, by eating such a thing, then there's a concern that it may cause cancer. Certainly a person will do everything he can to stay away from it. And he'd be very nervous that maybe he's going to mess up and end up causing himself to get cancer. And if a person messes up and ends up, you know, eating it or whatever, he'd be very nervous, very terrified until the doctor says that he's doing all right. He's going to be very nervous and maybe he's developing a cancer. So in Yiras Chet, that's the concept of Yiras Chet. It demonstrates about a person that he has a real sense of Emunah. That he understands, he's aware, he has a sense that the Avera is like an all-consuming fire. Like they say a story about the Vilna Gaon, to be Aldusa Naga B'Shabbos V'likavanabamuk, said that and when he was younger, he accidentally bumped in or touched some sort of muksa object on, maybe moved it, maybe touched it, no, on Shabbos, when it's Aleph, and he fainted. Because what's the big deal? Like the Rabbana, this, that, and the other thing. No, but because he had a sense that it was a disaster, what he did. And so the greater a person's yiras chet is, it shows that his emunah is greater. Yiras shamayim shalai gedol yoser, and his sense of awe of shamayim is greater. And that's really what we're about. That's what we're here to do, to develop these sensitivities. That's from the end of Koheles. So if, what's the end of it? Sof kol adam, what it's all about at the end of the day. If a person doesn't have any sense of fear from the Avera, it shows that his Amunah is not complete. And Mamela, his Torah, can't be successful. He's distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The closer a person is to Hashem, the closer Hashem is to him. But because of the Karav Hashem, the Chol Karav, that Hashem is close to all who call out to Him. To the extent that a person distances himself and is afraid of averis, to that extent, he'd guard him from Shamayim that he shouldn't make mistakes and mess up. According to his level of being aware, being wary and nervous, and his nervousness about averes. So according to that, that's to the extent that he will be guarded from them. Like we know from all kinds of incidents, stories, things that happened by Gedol Yisrael in every single generation, including our times. Amisha, your asai chalusha, and if a person, his yira is very weak, Tashmi Rasim and Shamayim, I love the Rasa, his Shmira from Shamayim is also weak. And that's why a person could mess up in all kinds of Yisurim. Hashem should save us from such things. Because the way that a person measures things is the way that things are measured towards him. Mida can I get Mida? If a person is cheapens things and he's not afraid, it's like, okay, it's not, you know, it's not a big deal, you know, in Avera. So why is Yemin HaShamayim? So they guarded him from it. He thinks it's no big deal anyway. And so he is, so to speak, abandoned to all kinds of happenstance. Mida k'neged mida. There is a way that Hashem does things for him. Not that he's not, but he's not abandoning him, but he's relating to him in the same way that he relates to Hashem. And since he's very likely to stumble in all kinds of averis, so it's obvious that his wisdom will not endure. The inasiyat dishmaini won't have help from heaven. The greater a person's yiras chet is, so too his help from heaven is greater in everything. V'lachein yifligu chazal, that's why chazal emphasized so much, kol kach be'inin yiras cheit, v'kanal, as we have explained and mentioned. Story time. This is a famous story, first story here. In 1914, so the stipler was giving a lot of shiurim. He was a Rosh Yeshiva and a certain yeshiva, and the Russian officers from the Russian army burst inside the yeshiva. And they actually took the stipler forcibly into the army. And that began some stories that he did not like to talk about, except for very few stories that he did mention. And this is one of them. He used to tell people that sometimes when you're fighting your Yetzer Hara, so it's important to realize that you can push things off little by little. And that's also a very important madrega. Okay, you know what? I'll do the Avir. I'll do it. You know, but five more minutes. So there's a maisis that happened where he had guard duty overnight and it was freezing in the Russian winter. And the guy that was before him took off the warm coat that everybody used to use when they were guarding in the frigid winter and hung the coat on a tree for the next guy to take. But the problem is that the stipler felt that by taking it off of the tree, he was violating a din rabbanon of using a tree. So he didn't want to take it off the tree, but he knew that it was going to be pikuach nefesh because he was going to freeze to death. So he said, okay, in 5 minutes, I'll take it off the tree, but it's not pikuach nefesh yet. I'll wait. So he did that for the entire night, five more minutes, until all of a sudden it was the morning and he didn't end up actually taking the coat off the tree at all. Yeah. Chaim was asked why he didn't publish his writings on the customs, on the minhagim of the Chazon Ish. He replied, my father also asked me that. I told him that I'm afraid of the responsibility, afraid that they will ask me up above, why did you write this or that? Chaim explained that the reason he had stated in his introduction to the Shon Halachas and Derech Emunah that his words are not to be taken as halacha was to spare himself from heavenly prosecution. When someone expressed a desire to publish a summary of halachas from Derech Emunah, he responded that he deliberately wished to refrain from doing so that people would not rely on him in matters of practical halacha. Similarly, in his letters, he repeatedly warns people not to rely on his answers for practical halacha for fear that they might stumble thereby. A reflection of, you know, Yerushalayim Yerushalayim. There's a crazy ma'isa that happened, been quoted in a few shvarim. There were a bunch of high school boys that decided to pay a visit to Rav Chaim, and the students, accompanied by the Rebbe, entered the room, great excitement to meet the Gadol Hador, receive his bracha, and one by one, they all got the bua, they got bracha batzlach. Suddenly, something strange occurred. When one student's turn came, Rav Chaim ignored him completely. The downcast boy didn't know what to do. Why hadn't their Rebbe blessed him? In his disappointment, he ran to his Rebbe and told him the Gadol Hador didn't give him a bracha. Don't worry, the Rebbe told the boy. Apparently, when he missed you, whatever, I don't know, it was unintentional. And probably thought you already got a bracha. Go to the end of the line and wait your turn and you'll get a bracha. So that's exactly what the kid did. When his turn came, Rav Chaim didn't give him a bracha. He ignored him. So the Rebbe was standing nearby, turned to Rav Chaim and said, you know, humbly, Moreno Rav, perhaps Rav didn't notice, but this boy has not received a bracha yet. So Rav Chaim lowered his eyes and he said, how can I bless a Jew who doesn't observe the prohibition of eating milk and meat together? Basa v'chalav. Whoa, a deadly science fell over the room. The stunned student burst into bitter tears and ran outside. How does the Rav know that? The boy wondered in shock. It's true. Lately, I haven't been careful to wait 6 hours between meat and milk, but I can't understand how the Rav knew that. Nobody knows it but me. In front of all of his classmates, the student announced that from then on, he would do complete tshuva and undertake to wait 6 full hours between meat and milk as mandated by Jewish law. Obviously, that was his meaning. At once, his Rebbe took his hand and went back inside Rav Chaim. This time, when the Rav saw the boy, he joyfully blessed him to merit great bracha and hatzlacha in his life. The Rebbe turned to Rav Chaim and asked, can the Rav tell me how he knew this boy was not careful of meat and milk? Was it Ruach HaKodesh? No, Rav Chaim waved a hand in dismissal. I saw in his forehead a very prominent image of a goat. Chazal said that a person who does not observe the stricture against eating milk with meat and milk together will have the image of a goat on his forehead. That's how he knew that he was not observing it. It wasn't Ruach HaKodesh. There was just a goat on his head. Mm-hmm. That's a crazy story. A famous story. Rav Chaim was told that the Chafetz Chaim, when asked for a bracha, sometimes told people, why go in such a roundabout way? Go directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he said this to a childless couple, they indeed received the salvation they sought. Rav Chaim explained it thus. At first, they thought that they had someone to depend on, Chafetz Chaim. Afterwards, they relied only on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that was the reason why they were helped. The rabbits are related the following. One day, Rabbeinu was invited to serve as a tzaddik in a bris, and the driver was a Baal Tshuva. Rabbeinu sat in the car, and the driver tried to start the engine. The engine wouldn't start. To make a long story short, They didn't have, without any other option, they moved to a different car, and the rest of the trip went smoothly. Later, they learned that Balchuva's father had bought the car with money that he had made through Averis, namely interest, charging interest, Ribis. And so, Min HaShamayim, they didn't allow Ruchaim to benefit from that. Similarly, the Ruchaim's grandson said, I once heard from my father, my grandfather, that he was invited to a bris to be sandik, and it was getting very late. And he told him, I'm not going to be a sandik at a bris that takes place after Shkia, after sunset. In the end, it was discovered that the child had some sort of issues. He wasn't conceived in holiness. And Hashkacha made sure that he was not the sandik for such a baby. Wow. Ruchaim used to tell people to fix their problems by learning halachas. A Jew who had stumbled in the area of eating dairy within 6 hours of eating milk came to ask Ruchaim how he could fix his issue. Ruchaim told him, learn halachas of basar v'chalav. To another person who accidentally transgressed the law of Shabbos, Ruchaim said, learn halachas of Shabbos. And instructed one who missed reciting Kriya Shema at the proper time to go over the halachas of Kriya Shema. Everyone was expecting that Ruchaim would tell them, oh, you know, fast for 40 days or give tzedakah. And he told them, learn halachas. Ruchaim was asked, what's pshat? You know, they knew obviously they did something wrong. So what would be the point in learning the halachas? They want to do tshuva. He replied, by reviewing the halachas, a person will learn to be more careful next time. And there is tshuva in this for his transgression. Besides, the very fact that he's learning halacha will serve as a merit to save him from sin in the future. On another occasion, a Bachar asked Ruchaim about atoning for his sins. He thought about decreasing his consumption of food and drink, you know, tying his fasting in some way. Ruchaim told him to continue eating and drinking. The best atonement is to learn as much as possible. We aren't afraid of mitzvahs. Ruchaim's grandson, Rav Gedalia Honigsberg, relates that people come to Ruchaim as their wedding day nears, saying that they're afraid to get married. They're nervous. Ruchaim tells them the only thing to be afraid of is averis. We aren't afraid of mitzvahs. Are you afraid of the mitzvah of esrog or matzah? Well, no, getting married is a mitzvah, yeah? What are you afraid of? Once on a chasan to Yishai's wedding said that he was afraid, Ruchaim asked him, have you already learned the halachas, you know, your chasan classes? In that case, there's nothing to be afraid of. You're only averis. An Rav Yom Kippur Ruchaim told me that he had a great many chavos. I asked, but you've already learned the Gemara and your other chavos for the day. And doing tshuva, he asked, is that not an obligation, a debt? I asked how one defrays such debts. He replied, we throw them. We throw our averis to Azazel. One day, when Ruchaim was feeling unwell, he had an infection, was very weak. We heard him saying several times, with great yiras chet, let this be a kapara for all of the sins I have sinned before you. And last but not least, when the Rebbetzin was young, Bnei Brak did not yet have a hospital, and expectant mothers traveled to the hospital in Yafoi. The Chazon Ish believed that it was best to try to avoid Chilul Shabbos for a mother giving birth. Therefore, many of those close to him would go to the home of Rav Kohn in Yafo on Friday afternoon for Shabbos. Rebbetzin Kanievsky, too, went there each time she was close to her due date, though in the end, none of her children were born on Shabbos. Have a beautiful day filled with Yerushalayim and Yerushalayim.